You're listening to the Plain Bible Teaching Podcast.
Thank you for tuning in to the newest episode of the Plain Bible Teaching Podcast. I'm your host, Andy Soker. On this podcast, we're discussing current events from a biblical perspective. Here in the United States this week, we have just seen a transition from one president to another. This episode is being released the day after the inauguration, and I'll have a few brief comments about that at the end of the episode. But first, we have a couple of other stories to talk about here today. For links to all of these stories, as well as links to related materials, you can check out the show notes, which will be located at plainbibleteaching.com/podcast/012121. Now for the news this week. First story that we're going to look at, Missouri is the first abortion-free state. From Discern, it says, Missouri has become America's first abortion-free state after all 45 abortion facilities in the state have closed or ceased performing abortions, according to a report from pro-life organization Operation Rescue. Reproductive Health Services Planned Parenthood in St. Louis was the last abortion facility in Missouri, the report says. It remains open, but Operation Rescue has confirmed that no abortion appointments have been available there for months, and none are available anytime in the foreseeable future. All abortion appointments are now being referred to the Fairview Heights Planned Parenthood facility across the Mississippi River in Illinois. Now, I saw that, I think it was a couple days now that I saw that report. Since then, I've seen a report where Planned Parenthood disputed that claim about that last facility there in Missouri. But even in trying to refute that claim, they still admitted that that last clinic had not performed any abortions in December. So I wanted to throw that out there just because there was a dispute from Planned Parenthood about that. But even then, this is still going in the right direction. Because since abortion is the act by which an innocent child is killed in the womb, the more states that can effectively become, quote, abortion-free, the better. Any defeat of abortion ought to be a cause of rejoicing for those who are Christians, for those who believe the Bible, for those who recognize that God is the creator of life. And at the same time, every victory for those who promote abortion, that ought to be a cause of mourning. So while this is good news, even with Planned Parenthood disputing the claim, this is still largely good news that it's, again, moving in the right direction. But there's still a long way to go to get rid of this practice in this country and in the world. Will that ever happen? No, who knows? But we need to pray that this is moving in the right direction. And as we discussed on the podcast a couple of weeks ago, abortion is the leading cause of death, or was the leading cause of death in 2020. Not COVID, not cancer, not anything else. Abortion was the leading cause of death in 2020, and it wasn't even close. So if you missed that episode, you can go back to the episode 2 weeks ago. There'll be a link to that in the show notes, as well as the other resources we mentioned in that episode about abortion. A couple articles on the Plain Bible Teaching website that deal with that issue. You can check those out. But that's at least some bit of good news that at least in one state, at least in Missouri, you have abortion almost being wiped out there because all of the facilities that perform the abortion are either closed or not currently performing that practice or that act. Story number two, we have a list of the most dangerous countries to be a follower of Jesus. CBN News says the watchdog organization Open Doors USA says levels of Christian persecution are at a record high around the world. Open Doors reports that levels of Christian persecution are at a record high, revealing that the number of Christians murdered for their faith rose 60% in 2020. Their latest data indicates 1 in 8 Christians now suffer for their religious beliefs worldwide. The top 10 countries on the World Watch List include North Korea, Afghanistan, Somalia, Libya, Pakistan, Eritrea, Yemen, Iran, Nigeria, and India. Reasons for persecution range from communist oppression to Islamic oppression and Hindu nationalism. So you have persecution rising around the world. And keep in mind, the way that this report, that and the organization that puts together this report, what they are defining as Christians may not be exactly the same as what the New Testament defines as Christians. However, those who are persecuting Christians are not making a distinction between what the New Testament says is a Christian and what the religious world says is a Christian. They're just targeting people who claim to be Christian. So it is going to include what the Bible defines as New Testament Christians. So persecution is increasing around the world. You have these top 10 countries, and really it shouldn't be a surprise that you have mostly Islamic countries or communist countries where these where this persecution is happening. But one thing I thought was interesting in this report, it said, quote, "The big surprise on the World Watch List 2021 is that extremists and governments are using COVID-19 as a justification to increase persecution against Christians." Now, there's debate among Christians in this country whether the lockdown measures and things like that constitute persecution against Christians because churches are told to close, or and people have different opinions of whether that's persecution or not. Even if you say that's not persecution, you read this report that's linked in the show notes here, and you see that this is not just about churches being told not to meet. This is, again, people being murdered or people having food that is withheld from them, supplies that are taken from them, and all under the guise of, you know, reacting to COVID-19. And so I encourage you to read that report and just see how this is going on. And, you know, for all the debates in this country about whether government responses to the virus are persecution, we can see, you can see as you read this, where that can go, where this can lead. But one of the things that we ought to take from this is that the world is becoming an increasingly hostile place to those who claim to follow Christ. Again, forget whether the definition that that group is using, who did the study, are defining Christians the way that the Bible does. Just ignore that, because that's really irrelevant. Again, persecutors don't care about whether a person is a New Testament Christian or simply claims to be a Christian. The world is becoming an increasingly hostile place toward those who claim to follow Christ. And notice again, as we read that, two of the major reasons for persecution in that top 10 list was, one, communist oppression, and two, Islamic oppression. Now, in the case of Islam, when you study the Quran and you look at Muslim-majority countries, you see that the more of a majority that Islam has in a certain place, the more intolerant it is toward others. And that includes Christians. And so that's why you have a lot of these Middle Eastern countries, because they are dominated by Islam. You have them very intolerant toward other religions, all other religions, but Christianity would be one of those. And regarding communism, now, you think you put that as one of the major factors, according to this study. Now, communism is not the only form of government that oppresses Christians. When Nero was oppressing Christians in the first century, Nero wasn't a communist leader. Rome wasn't a communist country. But when you have dictators or emperors or ones like that, what they have in common with communist regimes and communist countries is that the leader or the state seeks to replace God in the hearts and minds of the people. They are the provider. They are the sustainer. They are the ultimate power. That means that as Islam and or communism increase, the potential of persecution against Christians also increases. Now, to make that point about communism, it's not, you know, preaching politics. That's just simply the reality of the case, that as you have these, any type of government, any government philosophy that takes God out of the way and puts government in its place, whether it's communism or anything else like that, just a dictator over some country who wants to be the supreme ruler, supreme leader, that's also taking God out of it and replacing him with that leader. Anytime you have that, the potential for persecution against Christians increases. And as we see an increase, even in this country, of Islam and of people who are more favorable to the ideas of communism, we need to be prepared for that, that we may face persecution for our faith, the way that people in some of these other countries, whether it's North Korea or Iran or some of those other ones that are on that list, there may come a point where we face persecution like that. Now, there are some who have the idea that persecution is actually a good thing because it causes the church to grow. There are a lot of people who make that point. The church has grown in the past despite persecution. But has it grown because of persecution? Think about that. The church has grown despite persecution, but has it been because of persecution? Now, I have my answer to that. And I've written an article about answering that question, does persecution cause the church to grow? I won't give you my answer here. If you haven't read that article, I encourage you to read it. But before you read it, think about it. Does persecution cause the church to grow? Does the church grow despite persecution or because of persecution? So again, think about that, and then I encourage you to check out that article that's in the show notes. Then the last story. We have the inauguration of a new president. Again, as this episode is being released, that happened yesterday, thankfully. We didn't have any of the violence that a lot of people were afraid was going to happen after the Capitol building was stormed by protesters a couple of weeks ago. But according to Newsmax, Democrat Joe Biden was sworn in as President of the United States on Wednesday. Biden, 78, became the oldest U.S. president in history at a scaled-back ceremony in Washington that was largely stripped of its usual pomp and circumstance, due both to the coronavirus and security concerns following the January 6th assault on the U.S. Capitol. Now, regardless of what any of us thinks about the new president, the former president, or about the current government of the United States in general, we need to keep a perspective of a Christian, guided by what the Word of God teaches, and have that as our perspective before anything else. And this includes, having this perspective will include praying for those who are in authority, just as Paul told Timothy to do in 1 Timothy chapter 2. And it includes praying for them for the reason that Paul told Timothy that Christians were to pray for their leaders. Notice what he says here, 1 Timothy chapter 2, the first four verses. First of all, I urge that entreaties and prayers, petitions and thanksgivings be made on behalf of all men, for kings and all who are in authority, so that we may lead a tranquil and quiet life in all godliness and dignity. This is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. Notice what he says there. Notice the reason that he gave. You know, we have someone who is just inaugurated as president, who is the oldest president to be sworn in. Well, should we pray for his good health? Should we pray that that he would be able to continue his term and fulfill his term and do all of that? That's not what Paul said. Now, if you want to pray that he remains healthy, I'm not going to say you shouldn't do that. But first and foremost, pray for the reason that the Apostle Paul said to pray for leaders. Pray for them so that we may lead a tranquil and quiet life in all godliness and dignity. So whether it's the president or Congress or governors or state legislatures or whoever it is, even down to the local level, pray that our leaders at every level of government will allow us the freedom to serve God and teach His will so that we are not hindered in doing that. So we are not hindered in carrying out His will and spreading the gospel to others. And this goes back to what I talked about earlier about, does persecution cause the church to grow? Paul didn't tell Timothy, pray for leaders that they'll persecute us. He said, pray for leaders that we'll be able to lead a quiet and peaceful life. Pray that they'll leave us alone. Well, why would he say that? He says this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. Pray that we are not hindered in carrying out the will of God, doing what He has told us to do, and spreading the gospel to others. So you can read more about this topic in the show notes. There's an article called Pray for Those in Authority. And I also included an article written by a friend of mine recently, Devin Roush. The article is titled, You Are Here. Quote from the article says, as he's dealing with all of the, as we look at the terrible year that we've had, and now 2021, from the perspective of many people, it just continues on with that. He said in that article, as much as we might hate what is happening, we cannot simply close the book or turn off the television. This is life. You are here. What then are we to do? And he goes on and talks about how we handle all these things. Whether we're looking at a new president or we're looking at the life with a pandemic and the economic restrictions and all those things, whatever it is, however you want to, whatever perspective you're looking at it from, how do we deal with the things that we're facing? You can check out his article in the show notes and look at the things that he said, which I think are all good for us to consider. What we can do as we are here, there's nothing we can do about being here. So what are we to do now? That's all for this week. Thanks for listening to the Plain Bible Teaching Podcast. I hope you found it to be interesting and informative and encouraging, even though the news is not always encouraging, sometimes discouraging. I hope this episode and this discussion and also the links that are in the show notes be helpful to you. So you can check out the links to the news stories that were cited, the other links that were mentioned that are related to these topics in the show notes. Again, that'll be plainbibleteaching.com/podcast/012121. If you know of others who would be interested in hearing this or who would benefit from this discussion, please share this with them. Also, if you see a news story that you think might make for a good discussion here on the podcast, please email that to me. You can send the link to andy@plainbibleteaching.com. So as we close today, thank you again for listening, and I hope to talk to you again next week.
Thank you for listening to the Plain Bible Teaching Podcast. If you have any questions or comments, please visit plainbibleteaching.com. While you're there, be sure to sign up for the Plain Bible Teaching weekly newsletter. This free newsletter contains articles, audio, sermon outlines, current events, and more. Also, if you found this episode to be helpful, please share it with others.